There the moon. Your patience. As you know, over the past few weeks, or the past times that I've spoken, I've been majoring on some prophecies related to end time things. And there's something that's very important in all of this. As we see what's going on in the world today, there's obviously concerns about the world situation. We see what's happening in Israel. We see what's happening with the fighting that's continuing in Ukraine and other countries. And there's announcements being made continuously about, well, different countries are threatening that they will get involved if this or that is done for them. And there are even riots going on in this country. And seemingly against the Jewish nation, that's a very dangerous thing for anybody to do. And we've told the scriptures we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. But you know, people who don't believe in God, they see Israel as God's people, and they don't appreciate God, so they don't appreciate God's people. But behind all of this, it's not just something that's happening because certain countries are angry with each other. There was somebody behind the scenes who was working, and that's what I want to look at today. Because we have to realize that there is a spiritual battle going on. And it's not only against the different nations, but it's against each one of us. Satan is a very wily adversary. He is behind most of the problems that are in the world today. So let's take a look at the world. Who are the angels? Angels are spirits created by God. God created everything back there in the beginning. And Hebrews 1:14 says, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who inherit salvation?" I should tell you, putting this together as a talk against Satan and the demons, you have no idea the problems I've had with this presentation. All sorts of things were left out. All sorts of things were weren't working, just as you saw just now. There's certain things that aren't working as they should. So, you know, there's always someone behind the scenes who is against it. Hebrews 1:14 tells us, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Of course, there are good angels and there are bad angels, fallen angels. Fallen angels are those who are the demons, who are working with Satan for the corruption of this world and the corruption of anything that is of God. All the angels were created at the same time. Exodus 20:11, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, their starry hosts," and the hosts, when it speaks about that, are the angels, "by the breath of his mouth." And then we see in Nehemiah 9:6, "You made the heavens, even the highest heavens, and all their starry host. And the multitudes of heaven worshipped him." Now, stars don't worship God, but angels do. So the hosts here again, speaking about the hosts of angels, speaking about personalities. The angels were created to worship God. And this was the original purpose of them. Psalm 148, verse 2 says, "Praise him, all his angels, praise him, all his heavenly hosts." So there is a call for the angelic realms and the multitudes and millions of angels. Their purpose was to praise God, and the word angel means a messenger. And so there were messengers that God would use to reach out to man on earth. And we see that in many different ways. For example, when an angel came to advise Mary the fact that she carried on his side. So the angel brought that up. Now, who is Satan? He is the archangel, if you want to call it that, the one who is against everything and everyone. Satan is a created angel like the rest, but he had a lot more importance at the beginning. Colossians 1:16-17, Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, by him all things were created in heaven and on earth. Now, it speaks about visible and invisible. whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, and these are references to the angelic realms, all things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. So God created the angels, and they were there even before the earth was created. They were there as those who were original parts of the creation of God. Satan is an angel who had a place of preeminence and the glory in eternity past. Satan was the greatest and most beautiful of all the created angels. The scriptures tell us about that, as we will see. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O day star, son of dawn. How you are cut down to the ground, you who laid bare the nation, who laid the nations low. Again, something against Satan, the one who was the highest of the angels. And he was there in the presence of God at creation. But he became carried away with himself in pride, as we shall see. Satan was lifted up with pride. He thought he could take God's place. He was a guardian cherub. Isaiah 14, verses 13 and 14. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heaven above the stars of God. I will set my throne on high. I will sit on the mount of assembly in the far reaches of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. This is Satan, this created being, a spiritual being. He was created by God and the most beautiful of all of the angels, the most powerful of all of the angels that were created in the ranking of the angels. He was right at the very, very top, high in intelligence and power and all of those things. And he was so carried away with himself that he decided, I would like to be God himself. Ezekiel 28, verse 13 and 14, you were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. You were an anointed guardian cherub. I placed you. You were in the holy mountain of God. In the midst of the stones of fire you walked. You were blameless in your ways from the day that you were created, till unrighteousness was found in you. So this was Satan. He was a guardian cherub. In other words, he had the highest position. He had the love of God. He had all of the creative power of God in him. And he walked, as it says, in the midst of the stones of fire. That was, I believe, a reference to the throne of God, which was the glory of God was around it. And he was able to come near to that glory, the stones, and he walked amongst that glory that was there. Satan was cast out of heaven, and he made the earth a wilderness or a desert. Isaiah 14, verses 15 through 17. Is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world like a desert and overthrew its cities, who did not let his prisoners go home? You see, Satan was cast out of heaven. We don't know the exact timing of this. Some theologians would tell you that how he came to make the earth a desert was because he was cast down to earth, which was part of God's original forming of the creation that we would inhabit. And he turned it into a desert. And that's why it says in the beginning of Genesis, this is what some theologians say, that the earth was without form and void. In other words, what had been there had lost its structure, its form, and everything else. But God did creative work. We don't know all the details. We don't even know if that's exactly true, as this is surmised by some who are interpreters of scripture. Ezekiel 28, 14 through 16 says, you are anointed guardian cherub. In the midst of the stones of fire you walk. In the abundance of your trade, now the word trade here in Hebrew, it's being translated here as trade, but it's actually, it's like a politician who's going around trying to get votes. We see a lot of that at the moment. Politicians are going around from place to place. They're trying to promote themselves. Follow me and I will do this. And Satan was going around the angelic host seeking followers. And we know from scripture in other parts that he was able to influence a third part of all of the angels. Millions and millions of angels decided to follow Satan, and they were all cast out with Satan Satan was cast out of heaven because of his sin, because of his pride, because he lifted himself up against God himself, and all of his followers, they were cast out of heaven with him. And those followers are fallen angels who have become the demons that are making difficulties in the world today. Now, Satan is our adversary. Why us? Because we are now followers of the Lord Jesus. We follow the word of God. We seek to keep the word of God. But you know what? Satan is against everything that is for God. And that's why Israel has been going through so many trials and tribulations down through the centuries. And that was a part of the judgment that God put upon Israel, as we studied on earlier times, how there were 70 weeks of years that were proclaimed against Israel, that they would be under the domination of the Gentile nations, and they would be years of tribulation. And that's true, and that's happened. But we have seen how Satan has been against Israel from the very, very beginning of anything that God has done. He would seek to break it down and destroy it. Now, he's an adversary. He has schemes, and he sets traps like a wily hunter. Brian can tell you about the wiles of a hunter. And that all they have to do to hide and to get ready to trap something. Ephesians 6, 11 and 12. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. See, Satan initiates spiritual wickedness, not only in the high places, but here on the earth as well. And we see him working today in the people who are those who are in control of many situations, who are God haters. We see the reason why God is turning against so many people, and why Satan is having so much success, because there are so many people who are following Satan, allowing him to dictate to their thoughts and ideas and bring about so much division and problem in the world today. Satan's methods. He hunts like a wolf. Now, I guess you've seen some of those the films that they have on television of animal wildlife and all those sorts of things, and you see how they are able to hunt. Sometimes they hunt in a whole band of wolves, a pack of wolves. Sometimes it's a lone wolf. But you see, when there's a victim, the way that they sneak up on them and then they jump on them and take them. Matthew 7:17 says, beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Now, they are coming not because they are people who are smart and they just want to make a name for themselves. That's probably a part of it. But it's because Satan is behind what they are doing. He wants them to be able to destroy the fundamentals of the faith, so that they will not believe God, that they will not believe the scripture, that they will not believe in Jesus Christ, and be ready to follow the world and the way that the world is going today. They sneak up and they get in different ways. What do we see going on in the colleges today? Who are the ones who are out there against Israel today? Well, they've been brainwashed by professors who have been telling them that Israel, they're a terrible people. They're people who go out and they kill mercilessly. But who was being killed mercilessly back a few weeks ago in Israel? And what were they doing to the victims? And how were they treating the victims? We see Israel, on the other hand, working in a different way. They're just defending themselves. They're trying to maintain integrity in the battles. They're not just mercilessly killing children and chopping them up and all of these things that have been going on. But you see, Satan just loves to get in, and he's turning the world against Israel. Why? Because they're God's people. God has a purpose. As we've been seeing the prophecy lectures, that Israel is going to have a place. They're going to enter into the millennium, and the Lord Jesus is going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and the nation of Israel will be there. The Old Testament prophecy. prophets will be there. There'll be people who will be even saved during the tribulation because of the different ways we were able to start, not to be part of the church, but to enter the millennium under the reign of the Messiah. And even then, at the end of the 1,000 years, Satan is going to raise up the hordes of people who will be born during the millennium to be an army of those who still do not trust in the Lord. They will be tempted, and they will ultimately be wiped out because there will be only perfection to go into the new heavens and the new earth, as we have been seeing. So he's sometimes like a roaring lion. We've seen pictures of these things as well, haven't we? On the different magazines and the movies. 1 Peter 5:8-9 says, "Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same kinds of suffering are being experienced by your brotherhood throughout the world." But Satan is attacking the church today. Why is it that the church is being persecuted? Not only Israel, but in so many countries, they're burning down churches. They're chopping off the heads of Christians who will not turn to become Muslims. And all of these different things that we see around us. They're burning down the villages and killing the people. All of these things are going, why? Well, it's because Satan is against God. He's still against God. And he's behind all of these things. So we'll see later on that we as believers, we have somebody who is for us. We have an advocate with the Father. We have somebody who's stronger than Satan, somebody who can help us in all the tribulations that are coming into the world today. Satan is active in our generation. People will say, well, no. What about us here in America? You don't see a lot of actual things that Satan is doing. Well, I've been in Colombia, as you know, for many years, and I saw a lot of demonic activity there. And I just heard a couple of things that I personally experienced with the people there. One of the last years was a man, a wonderful Bible teacher. He was telling me one time that he had a neighbor who, every time he left his house and walked down the street, something would come up behind him and spit great globs of spit on his back. He said, well, how is that possible? There wasn't an object. There wasn't something that could be seen. He turned around. There was nothing there. But he'd go along and he had all these globs of spit. I mean, this is something that is happening today. And it's more obvious, but perhaps in places like Colombia, but it's getting more and more obvious here in the United States today. A New Zealand missionary, I was talking to him, and he'd just come back from a trip up here to the States, and he was coming back to Bogota. And he said, you know, I was sitting on the plane, and I was eating my meal, and the man beside me rejected his dinner. I said to him, oh, you're a Christian, you're having a fast, are you? Fasting for this prayer or something? He says, no, I am fasting, but I'm fasting for Satan, because we are praying, we Satanists are praying for the fall down of Christian leaders in America. It was within months that I heard about Jim Swaggart and Jim Baker and their tremendous fall, public fall for the people. And this brought all sorts of discouragement to people, and it brought infamy against the church itself. They were representatives of the church, and this man's prayer and those who were praying with him, no doubt, Satan was answering their prayers. So do we believe in demons? Do we believe Satan is active today? You know, my son Alan was killed in Costa Rica. And during his burial ceremony, my wife and I had perfect peace, which was tangible. It was totally unknown. How did it happen? Why was it like that? We were the only dry-eyed people in the chapel there. The Language Institute. So much so that I was able to get up and preach my first message in Spanish to the people there, saying, you know, today I can tell you from my own heart and experience what Jesus Christ said is the truth. He said, I am in me you will have peace. In the world you won't have peace, but in me you will have peace. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. That's John 14:27. And I was able to preach from that message. And as a result, I was invited to go to a church, Baptist church, the following Sunday, and people got saved when I was preaching. You know, God was just showing me, on one hand, we had a terrible loss. Satan was saying to me in my mind, just thoughts that came. God can't look after your little boy here in Costa Rica, a Pacific country, basically. Now, how's he going to look after your family in Colombia, which is known to be a violent country? So with those thoughts, we left for Colombia. And the other student said, I suppose you won't go to Colombia now. He said, yeah, God has called us. We have to fulfill the purpose that God has for us. Now, Julio, my good friend Julio, he was preaching in a place called Canare in Colombia, in the jungle area. And he was invited to go to a, some men came along. We had a conference down in the little town there. And they said, would you come and preach to us? We have a little group we're building up here. So he went. And it was dark at night. They had a thatch roof. They had candles around in the corners. And these people were sitting in the back there. It was all dark and gloomy. And he was behind the pulpit. And as he began to preach, he felt something moving up his legs. And what came up and began to squeeze his chest. And he said, brethren, pray, there's something going on here. He said, as they began to pray, this ran out of him like water out of a jug. He started to preach again and again, it started to come up. And he had been into witchcraft before he got saved. He'd gone out to a mountain one night, killed an animal, shed its blood, and received the gift, a gift from the demon, before he was saved. And he was able to read the tarot cards. People would come and they would open the cards and he would read them and say something, whatever came into his head. He said it was always light. Why? Because the demons know what's going on in the lives of different people. And he would say these things and it was always true. But then he got saved and he came to me one night. He says, after he was saved, he said, you know, I can't go to sleep every night. I find this pressure around me. I don't know what it is. He said, have you had heart troubles lately? Have you been to see the... No, it's not that at all. And then that was when he told me he'd been in the witchcraft before he got saved. He said, well, I know what it is. You're not possessed because a Christian cannot be possessed. You are oppressed. So we're going to pray together. You and I will pray. After a month or so, he was freed from that oppression, demonic oppression. They were trying to get back at him because our bodies with the Holy Spirit inside will not allow a demon to come in and possess. So Christians can be oppressed, not possessed. He was down in the same area in Karate, and another man came and said, can you come to my house and pray, please? Because there are all these stones flying around. They land on the roof all the time, and it's hard. And even inside the house, they hit me in the chest sometimes when I'm sitting at the table. So Julio and a couple of guys went along to pray there. And sure enough, when they prayed, there were actual stones hit the roof while he was there. He went out and looked around, there was nobody throwing stones at all. So they prayed and it stopped. And then it started up again when they stopped praying. And they said, well, we can't be here praying all the time. You need to get saved and start praying yourself. And he said, you know, I can't even go to sleep at night on my bed. I get under the bed and it throws dust in my face. I mean, this is demon activity. And we sort of think, oh, well, you know, we're okay. Those sorts of things don't happen here, but they do. It's just that we don't hear about them. It's just that we're not in contact with those sorts of things. And in my book, Satan and the Heavenly Hosts, I had a series on Satan and the Heavenly Host in Spanish. And down in my bookshop, print shop, we had two stacks, pallets of paper that was about this square. And all the different pages were there, right waiting to be folded and cut and all of that sort of things. This is the book, Satan and the Heavenly Hosts. And Miguel came to me and says, you know what? I was just standing there. It was inside an enclosed room, no fans, no windows open, no doors open. All of a sudden, the four pallets of paper went flying across the room. He said, it's like Satan doesn't want us to print this book. I said, wow, that's pretty telling, isn't it? So you know, these things actually happened. Gladys is a friend in Puerto Boyacá. She was visiting out in the jungle. And there was a nice young man there. And another woman who had her eyes on this young man apparently cursed her, went to a witch and cursed Gladys. And she was having all sorts of mental problems. She came to us in Bucaramanga. We saw doctors and psychiatrists and all these things. He said, well, we don't know what's going on. We have no idea. And then we found out that Gladys went to a witch doctor, of all things, and she was supposedly a Christian, and she was cured by a witch doctor. I mean, these are powers that are going on all the time. And I could tell you all sorts of stories. I told you about when I was being chased by the gorillas, 3 months, and fear every night, every time a motorbike or something went down the street, I'd be awake, wide awake. One night I heard deep breathing, and my wife was here sleeping. I could hear her, it wasn't her. I turned around and looked toward the window, and there was this ugly face, a terrible face, wicked looking face. He switched the light on and disappeared. But man, I thought it was the gorillas coming. I was really scared. And so I slept the best I'd slept for months. Why? Because I had just done the study on Job. It's the first chapter in this book. And we know that Job, it says that God had put a hedge around him to protect him. So he said, I can't get him. I said, I mean, you can only do this, you can only do that. That was the real comfort. I mean, knowing no matter what happened, there's nothing they can do that's not allowed it. Satan is active, and he will do all of these things to try and cripple us spiritually, to flatten us, to attempt to terrorize us, all of these things. He has an army of demons. Satan imitates God's order on the angels. Ephesians 6:10-12 says, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against authorities, against all the powers over the present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. So as God has ranks more among his angels, so Satan's copying God. He's the great imitator of God. He wants to be God, and he has ranks and order amongst his followers as well. For example, Daniel 10, verses 12 through 13 and verse 20, and he said to me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and humble yourself before God, your words have been heard, and I have come because of your words. Now, this was an angel who came asking. And then he said, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But Michael, one of the chief princes, another good angel, came to help me, for I was left there with the kings of Persia. Do you know why I have come to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. And when I go out, behold, the prince of Greece will come. Who are these princes of Persia and Greece and so on? These are the demons that Satan has placed over different countries. There is a demon, I don't know his name, I don't profess to try or even think about who it might be, but there is a prince, a demon prince, who is over the United States of America. He's very busy today. And you have to read the news every morning. He's very busy in this country. You know, the only protection we have is if we are in Christ, born-again believers. We may suffer some sort of persecution, but you know what? No matter what happens, we are the Lord's. Even if we have to give our lives sometime, we will be immediately with the Lord. Demons can possess unbelievers or oppress believers. There's a difference. An unbeliever can be possessed. In other words, the demon will put in him like the man of Gadara. You have 2,000 demons within him, so they can get into a very small spot. But a believer can only be oppressed. He cannot be possessed. Mark 5, verses 8 and 9. Well, he was saying to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And Jesus asked him, what's your name? He replied, my name is Legion. We are many. It's the name of Gadara. So, you see, angels are able to possess different people. And people who are perhaps organizing things in the world today may be possessed by Satan. They may have a very good front. They may be business people. They may be people who have made a lot of money because they're in Satan's hands and he's helping them to do that so that they can pay for airplanes to fly to Kenosha when there's an uprising. For example, what happened in Kenosha just a year or so ago. 2 or 3 planes flew from Minneapolis here to Milwaukee. Anyone who wanted to come to be a part of the mess that was going on there. So you see, there are these rich people. They have a nice face. Maybe he hasn't got such a nice face. But, you know, he supplied the money for those planes. And he's a Jew of all people. That somebody is inspiring him for what he's doing. So, you know, this is terrible stuff. Satan's defeat. This is the good part. The cross of Christ was Satan's defeat. Colossians 2:15, he, God, disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over him, over them in him, who is Jesus on the cross. So the cross is the basis of the disarmament and the defeat of Satan. Satan's ultimate defeat in Revelation 10:10 is, and the devil who had deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and forever. That will be the end, but they're still alive and well at this time. I refuse this scripture. Studying the living and living by the word, Jesus was rejecting temptation by using the word of God. Matthew 4:4-10, and when the tempter came, he said to him, if you be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. And then again, the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against the stone. Satan's quoting scripture. Many politicians have heard quoting scripture. You know they're not saved. You see, Satan knows the word as well as we do, and he knows his time short. What did Jesus say? Again, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And he said to him, all these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. Then Jesus said to him, begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. The Lord Jesus used scripture to defeat Satan and all of the temptations by Satan and all the attacks by Satan. The word of God was the defense. You see that now also in Ephesians 6, where the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Our refuge and protection. There is a hedge around believers, as I mentioned earlier, Job 1 and 2. Then Satan answered the Lord and he said, does Job fear God for no reason? Have you not put a hedge around him and his house and all that he has on every side? And God has a hedge around us. And that's a confidence that I have. When I was being threatened with death by the guerrillas in Colombia, my wife and I said, look, the Lord's got a hedge around us. They cannot touch me unless God allows it. If he allows it, his will is always the best. If he doesn't allow it, they can't touch you. And that was what kept us going there in spite of all everyone saying, you need to leave the country, you need to run. He said, look, if we run from fear, we'll be running from fear for the rest of our life. So the Lord protected. And he was true to his word. Satan attacks, when Satan's attacks come, God is there for us. Hebrews 13, verses 5 and 6. I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. They're wonderful verses, aren't they? 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you that is not common to man. Satan will tempt us in so many different ways. But God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. He knows how far we can go in being strong. Comes in at the right moment to give us the answer and the escape. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. Our preparation. Ephesians 6, verses 13 to 18. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Are we in an evil day? I think we are. We see things now that have never really happened before in history. Happening with all sorts of weapons that we've never known in the past. Sorts of evil that is happening around us. So we're really in an evil time. I'm not predicting that the Lord is coming tomorrow or anything like that. You know what the wonderful thing is? Before the actual tribulation begins, as we saw in past studies, that will take place before the tribulation. We'll be caught out of here to be with the Lord now on earth. Think things are bad today. I have no idea. To read through Revelation, will be like during the time of tribulation. The Lord even said, if that time was not brought to an end, no man would be saved. The Lord is going to come after 7 years to rescue the remnant of Israel that is still alive, will set up his kingdom, millennium for 1,000 years. Therefore, take on the whole armor of God. This is our need now, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. Now, how many times do we read in scriptures, be like men, stand strong. Stand strong like a man. Quit you like men, be strong. And all of these different verses in scripture that say, we need to take a firm stand in what we believe. Actually live that way so that Satan cannot get in and cause his damage. And then he goes on with the armor. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth. Is the belt of truth? Truth is scripture, isn't it? We understand that truth supersedes anything that is false, anything that Satan might throw at us. If we know the truth from scripture, and we know the Lord Jesus, who is the truth, then we are already on the road to victory. So we put the belt of truth, we put on the breastplate of righteousness. It's not our righteousness. We are in Christ. We are put on Christ's righteousness. We are accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in the Lord Jesus Christ because of his death and resurrection, because of his sacrifice, because of his propitiation, the work that he did at Calvary to die in our place and take away our sins. We have a standing before a holy God. So, see, we have put on the breastplate of not our righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ. As shoes on your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. So our shoes represent where we walk, where we go, how we live. The gospel, the upcoming 7 Mile Fair is a gospel opportunity. We should all be excited about telling people about the Lord Jesus. As we see what's the deterioration in the world around us today, we should all be wanting to announce the gospel to people that we meet. And when we have an opportunity like go to the 7 Mile Fair, we have a great opportunity to be able to tell people you need the Lord Jesus. He's the one who can save. He's the one who can keep. He's the one who can take the fears out of the life. He's the one who can bring about a peace that passes all understanding in difficult circumstances. And it says, in all circumstances, take on the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. It takes a little bit of faith to stand sometimes, a lot of faith, because Satan's going to attack. He's going to be against us. He doesn't like what we do. He doesn't like us being Christians. He doesn't like the message of the gospel that we preach to those who are lost. Why? He doesn't want the gospel to go out because he knows that the Lord will come, and those who have not heard the gospel, those who have never made a profession of faith, they will be going to hell. But we have a responsibility to be witnesses and lights in this world for Jesus. So we need to take the shield of faith, and in which we can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. So as we stand firmly, Satan is like firing fiery arrows at us, as you may see in some of these movies today. And they got it. Imagine these movies and space. Yeah, there is. But you know what I mean? Hey, you see all these firing arrows and flame and so on. Anyway, we need to have faith. We need to stand firmly, believing what the Lord tells us, believing in scripture. And take the helmet of salvation. We know in our minds. That's where Satan will fight a lot in the heads of believers. He wants to discourage. He wants to tell us, how can you really know that God is true? How can you really know that Jesus is the way that you can find? How do you really know you're saved?
Well, you know better than God.
Exactly. So we have the word of God, don't we? And that tells us that when we believe and trust, we have eternal life. So the Lord Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And then the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that is such an important part of our weaponry. We need to know the scriptures, but if we don't read it every day, how can we use the Word of God in defense, let alone offensively? We should also be using the Word of God, preaching the gospel so that people can be saved. But we need to have the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds, because Satan attacks our minds to make them these ears that deceit that Satan would sit between. You're not saved. How do you know you're saved? People tell you you're saved. You don't know that. Well, but the Bible, who believes the Bible these days? Satan will get into your head. You need that salvation. Knowing we are truly saved. But God, sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying at all times in the Spirit. How much time do we devote to prayer in our lives? He goes on to say, with all prayer and supplication. Well, we should be praying in us. Wednesday night, this is the powerhouse of the temple. Prepared to pray. What sort of success can we expect in our lives? What sort of a growth in our Christian experience can we expect? How can we expect growth in the local assembly? Just at home, that's important. Very important. Collectively, it's more important because here we're able to bring the needs and the desires and the thoughts and the cares of the assembly before the Lord. He's the only one who can answer prayer. We'll answer our prayers. We need to be those who are praying. But Father, we just thank you. We can be here today in this way. We seek your blessing and guidance in our lives. We know Satan is alive and well. We know he's doing his best, knowing that the time is short, that your coming of the Lord Jesus must be near. See things that are happening in the world like never before. And we just pray, Lord, that you give us the faith, the strength, and all we need to be able to take a very firm stand for the Lord, holding to the Word of God, and following through, preaching the gospel, doing all you put before us. Help us to have busy lives for you, so that we may be effective as those who are servants, your servants. Each person here today, you know the concerns and the problems in each life. Some are not even saved, and when we suffer, those who are not saved, we help them to come under the umbrella blood of Christ, salvation. Then each one with you, with faith, with love, and with your love and care, Jesus. Amen.